Welcome to Pen and Page Gals, the podcast where we're flipping through our favorite and recent reads. Your hosts are me, I'm Jensine.
And I'm Sophia. And in a digital age when everything is fast-paced and fighting for our attention, we hope to inspire you to slow the scroll and pause for some pages instead.
Hi everyone, welcome to our September episode of Pen and Page Gals. I'm here with Sophia!
Except it's not Queen our September episode.
Oh my gosh. It's August still. But it's like the end of August.
It's the end of the month. And to be fair, we were just content planning for the next month.
We were.
So September's on. I get it.
And I'm just looking forward to September.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff happening in September.
Okay.
But welcome to our August episode.
August, yes. I'm Jensine, and I don't know what month it is or day, obviously.
It's okay. It's also like at the end of the day, all of our kids have been tucked in and we're just, It's like that time of night where the mom brain starts to just be done for the day. I'm Sophia. And we're here for our August episode.
Recording is always fun, even at the end of the day.
It is. I think it's who you record with that makes it fun, though.
Yes. Agreed. So this month we read Spin the Dawn.
Yeah.
By Elizabeth Lim. And last month we had teased it as kind of like a Project Runway meets Mulan YA fantasy book.
Yeah.
And so we'll discuss that in a little bit. But for our little girl chat, let's talk about shopping.
Let's do it.
I feel like, Sophia, you are like the queen of at least blogging your like shopping pick. We were just talking about how the Nordstrom anniversary sale passed.
Yes.
Were you always into that
or into the sale or into clothes?
I guess either.
Yeah, either. I mean, yeah, I've always liked clothes. We can talk about that later too. But the end sale specifically, I've been shopping it for close to 10 years now. I think I first discovered it in 2012.
Yeah.
Or 13, something like that. I don't know why, because every year I shop it, like, not to dull the excitement or kind of like burst anyone's bubble. It is kind of the same items every year. Like, you always get a pair of boots or like the same, you know, Sam Edelman over the knee boot or whatever. Like, there's common themes,
or
right?
Like
there's
always a sweater or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. A Free People chunky sweater. There's always like a theme. And so it's not like revolutionary items, but I like that it gives you a chance to update and refresh your fall wardrobe before the season starts and at sale prices. That's what the whole sale is about. I've been shopping it for a long time. It's also a good time to get back to school stuff for kids because they have like sneakers and jeans and all that. Do you normally shop the sale? I know you shopped it a little this year.
I feel like I
sort of for you.
Yes, you did. I really like that they have home stuff now.
Yeah, and they're like have everything.
Yeah, they expanded their home stuff, I think, in the last couple of years to include a lot more like in style, trendy brands, kind of like the Instagram brands that you see a lot too. So that's kind of cool. And I got some cool stuff that was on sale that I had kind of been wanting. So I was like, oh, it's on sale. I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I feel like I shop the end sale more for things I need. And I'm like, I can get kind of like maybe a nicer brand or like, you know, something like that on sale. Yeah. So I'll do that. But yeah, like you said, I feel like it is kind of the same things more or less every year, kind of the same style of things. And so if I already have something like that, I probably won't like go all out and buy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe it's just a sign of like getting older or also not wanting – too many things in my house.
Yeah.
Like the more things I have, like the bigger my closet is, it like stresses me out because I feel like I have to keep track of everything. My sick brain is like, oh, that's too many sweaters to keep track of. I need to like downsize by 25%. So I feel like in recent years, I've been kind of just sticking to, just a set number of pieces, like almost capsule wardrobe-y, but not quite. But, so I try – recently I've been trying not to impulse buy too much also.
Yeah. Would you say, though –
wasn't that one of your things, like not impulse buying this year? No, was it this year or last year?
It was this year. I was just going to bring that up. Yeah. In January, you and I and our other friend Stephanie, who has guest hosted with us before, if you don't know, listener – the three of us started off the new year with this like pact, like a challenge.
Yeah.
And it was five items? Like a 5-item low buy challenge.
Yeah. From... I think each of us had different 5 items.
Oh, different like,
categories or.
Right.
Yeah.
Like and that. It was only 5 items, not for the whole year, like for the first quarter. So from January to April or something, end of March or something like that. But I was going to ask you because my 5 items that I was challenging myself on was clothing, but yours was home stuff, if I remember.
It did include clothing, but I also included home stuff because that's like a temptation for me also.
So I was just going to ask you, because you were saying like when you look at your closet, you're like, oh, this is too many sweaters to keep track of. Like I need to reduce a little bit and streamline what I have, which is so like that is what I aspire to be. But my brain doesn't work like that. But then I'm thinking maybe the temptation for you, though, is more or like the allure isn't really in your closet, but more in your home and like things that you can buy for sure. The house. Yeah,
for sure. And before it was definitely my closet, like when I was younger or like, you know, I didn't have kids and could kind of wear like whatever and went to work and offices and all that kind of stuff. But over the years have been donating a lot. But in lieu of that, I've been, collecting lots of little baubles for the house here and there.
That's good. Like I probably need to shift away from like honestly I have those moments where I go through and I'm like purging my closet, you know, like stuff I haven't worn in a while. Does it spark joy? And more often than not I get so frustrated with myself because I'm like I clearly have a specific taste. I have three sweaters that look basically the same. It's like three white chunky sweaters. They're literally the same function. So why do I have three of them? And then I always tell myself I'm not doing this again. And then somehow like until the next purging session, I amass more stuff and I don't know what it is, but there is something that like, for me, if I find something, first of all, if I find something that I like a clothing item that fits me well, that makes me feel cute and I feel confident in, then I want to have like every single color of it. So that's one issue. Then the other one is I think that I purchase things from my closet as if I am some sort of fashion influencer blogger when really half the time, do you see what I'm wearing? I'm wearing Lululemon running shorts. Like this is what I wear most of the day. I don't even get dressed most days in real clothes. So I don't know why I think I need, you know, 5 pairs of jeans in that same light distressed wash, you know, it's just like, So
I feel you. I feel you.
Yeah,
I feel you.
But I do love clothes. And I like putting outfits together. I wonder for people who are listening and don't know this about me, I did used to be like work for a personal styling platform. And so I wonder if part of it is like an occupational hazard left over from that, like wanting to have options of things I can like mix and match to make outfits. Yes. I wonder if part of it is that. I don't know, but
I think it is important to know your style though and to know what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think you've got that down. You know, well, you know that, you.
That brings me to my next question that I wanted to ask you is, how would you describe your personal style?
My personal style is how do I describe it?
It's there, like, is like a slightly edgy factor to your style, I'll have to say.
Yeah, I want to say it's mom. It's the mom version of, like, I'm gonna say like Instagram trendy, even though
yeah,
that to me kind of has like a negative connotation. But I think what's coming back in, you know, everyone's talking about like Gen Z and what,
yeah,
you know, the baggy pants and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And so I think, yeah, it's like kind of a mom spin of what's up and coming and what's like in style, but also what's comfortable and stuff. Cause I think yeah. like you, I'm most of the week just in comfy stuff, which yeah. is nice now that like athleisure is in, or totally. Like sweatsuits and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And yeah, once I discovered biker shorts this summer,
game over.
I think it was this summer. I literally wear bike shorts like 4 out of 5
yeah.
school days.
They're so comfy though. And so easy.
They are. You just throw on something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually going to say the same thing when you were trying to describe your personal style. I was going to say it's the mom version of like Gen Z trendy. That's yeah. how I look at it. Like, it's modestly appropriate for your season of life, yeah. but it is very much in line with what the trends kind of are that you see yeah. probably people 10 years younger than us wearing, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. I would say my style is not that, like, it's not quite as trendy, although I think there are pieces, like trendy pieces sometimes that I incorporate if I want to. Yeah. But what I just kind of gravitate towards and what makes me feel the most comfortable is what I call like a California casual,
yeah,
like laid back kind of
look. I totally see.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Like kind of flowier silhouettes.
Yeah.
I don't mind showing leg. Like, I prefer to show leg like with shorts or like a shorter dress or something. Like, not inappropriately short, you know, but like, yeah, like a California like beach, almost beach style.
And I feel like mom. You embrace color.
I love color.
Really fun. Yeah. And you can pull off like really fun colors.
Yeah.
Whereas I kind of just stick to the same neutral. Neutral palette.
You are definitely neutral. Like, desert vibes is you, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I tried to channel a little bit of that. Like, not I wasn't purposely thinking, oh, like Jensine, but I was trying to, you know, I know like those like nudes and like desert earth tones are really in. So I was trying to channel that, and I wore these kind of like spiced chai colored Lululemon leggings and posted it on my Instagram because I was like, oh, like, look how cute. And I cannot tell you how many DMs and comments I got from people being like, I straight up thought you were naked. Like, I thought you were wearing no pants.
I remember this.
And I was like, yeah, okay. All right. We're going to be naked today. Yeah. Sure. So that's what happens when I try to be Gen Z trendy. I'm just going to stick to my wheelhouse, you know, just going to do me.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, I am glad we are where we are, because when you brought up this topic, I was like, man, I'm glad I'm here now and I'm happy with the things I wear, because I look back and there were some serious faux pas.
What age would you say you made the most fashion faux pas?
Oh, gosh.
Like high school? College?
Probably high school. Probably.
Yeah.
I just didn't know yet.
Yeah. Who like does?
What my body. Or, you know, how to fit your body. And, like, you want to wear what's cool and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
I remember in high school, the only, like, fashion wise, it was like Abercrombie or bust. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I wore Abercrombie head to toe every day. You know, yeah, and that was my entire high school was like that. So it was like all the girls would be walking around wearing the exact same jacket because we all got it from Abercrombie.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Definitely was more of a conformity type of fashion style, you know?
Yep. And then I feel like in college, I was either super grungy, like I looked like a homeless person. And I went to Berkeley, so I totally fit
in. You fit right in, yeah.
No one like blinked an eye. Nope. I don't like show up in like the rattiest PJs. Sometimes I even wore like my robe to the library. I just.
No, you didn't.
I did. Because sometimes you would sleep there and I'd be comfortable, you know.
Wow.
So there was like that side of me in college, but then also a side that like bought just tons of stuff to like wear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. It was like two extremes.
Yeah. When I look back at my fashion choices, I don't feel like faux pas cringy. When I look at it, I think, okay, that's what everyone was. I mean, it's cringy, right. But it's also like, that's what everyone was wearing.
Right.
So
that was for the what time. Was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I was cool, or I thought I was cool, you know? Yes. I just remember like really, really like feeling like the clothes were what made me fit in when I was in high school and college. Yeah. Like I needed to be wearing the right things in order to feel like I was cool. And now sometimes I look at myself and I'm like, where do you think you're going wearing, like, put something on that's like cute. Like you look ridiculous, you know? And it's just like how life changes. Like I just don't care. Like I feel like I should be more embarrassed sometimes than I am.
No. I think once you've passed humans through your body,
it doesn't
matter.
Yeah. Or even like I feel like after I turned 30.
Oh yeah.
Like, I just was like, I am who I am, and I love myself. Like, I'm beautiful. I don't care.
Were you into America's Next Top Model?
I was for, like, the early seasons. But not, like, a total crazy fanatic.
I remember that was, like, the first kind of reality show-ish thing I watched.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day.
Yeah, it was super addicting if you got into it.
Yeah.
The thing is, too, though, like, back then, there wasn't this on-demand streaming thing. So if you missed an episode and it wasn't replaying, like, you missed it. And so, like, sometimes, like, I feel like I remember wanting to watch seasons or wanting to watch a show, but then, and I didn't have, like, DVR, like, that would record it.
Yeah.
So if I missed it and then I missed more than, like, a week or two, then it was just like, oh, okay, then. I missed the show. Like, I don't know.
True.
But true or false, like, did reading this book make you kind of wish that you knew how to sew?
A little bit,
right?
A little bit, yeah. I like, don't know how to sew, like, at all.
Same. I mean, I can barely sew a button on.
Oh, barely. Yeah. I've never really had, which is kind of funny because... So my grandpa had...
Yeah, I know your grandpa,
My grandpa was, like, a tailor, and he had, like, his own store and stuff. And he was, like, a master, like, high key.
Right.
And so my mom, like, really knew how to sew, and I would actually sew a lot with her when I was younger.
We used to sew, like...
We used to sew, like, our own Barbie clothes, like, by hand. It was crazy.
That's so cute.
I know. And yeah, I was really, really into it when I was young, but I literally don't remember anything. I was so useless.
That's still really cool, though.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
That would have been cool. I should probably learn more. But yeah, when I see people with, like, sewing machines who can, like, do these magical, you know, things, transformations, I'm like, that is so handy dandy.
Yeah. I keep thinking one of these days that I'm going to take, like, an intro to sewing class at the community center or something just so that I can get a foundation laid.
Yeah.
Because I don't even have like your, okay, like, you know, you grew up sewing and maybe you can't do it now, but at least you grew up like familiar with it. Yeah. I don't even have that. Like everything I learned how to do, I literally just like learned by myself, like how to thread a needle, how to sew a button. Yeah. I'm like, this looks right. I don't know. It doesn't fall off. Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure the way.
YouTube. Yeah.
I know. And I'm pretty, maybe I should just do a YouTube tutorial on it. But like, even the way, like, let's say you're sewing a button on and you have to knot the thread at the end.
And yeah.
Even the way I do that, I'm like, there's no way this is the right way. I literally just like knot it like many, many times. And I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. That's not it. Yeah.
Bucket list. I will learn before I die.
Oh man. What did you think of the book?
So I liked it. I know, and you had mentioned this at the beginning of this recording, that the book is described as Project Runway meets Mulan. But yeah. I didn't realize it's actually like literally like almost a retelling of Mulan, but like with a lot of liberties. Like the whole like the son is being basically drafted or like, you know, summoned and then he can't go. So then the daughter takes his place and like pretends to go and
and the whole like cutting your hair.
Total
Mulan scene.
Total Mulan, I guess that's kind of where the similarity to Mulan is. Yeah. But still, I was like, whoa, this is actually straight up Mulan.
I know. The love interest was a total surprise. Not a total surprise, but I was like when, you know, you read that first little snippet page and it's like the boy love or whatever. And I'm like, oh, it's the emperor or whatever. Yes. You know, she's gonna fall in love with the emperor.
Yeah. But then it's I did think too that she would fall in love with the emperor, and like, I had a feeling when they talked about how the emperor's so handsome and he was sickly as a child, but now he's so strong. Like I thought it was going to be like Beauty and the Beast type of thing where like he's under a spell and like, that's why he like gives off this aura, but then really he's trapped. And then I thought that Eden, is that how you pronounce the
Eden? I say Eden.
Eden. I thought that Eden would be the bad guy that like is like, I've got him under
He gave me like Jafar vibes.
I was, but I feel like she made it clear, like pretty, like, you know, we weren't even halfway through the book when it was pretty obvious that Eden was the one that was going to be the not the emperor.
For sure.
And then it just like went to places that I wasn't even, like, I was just, like, on the journey.
You were on a magic carpet.
Magic carpet.
Flying through the book.
Blood of stars. Like, I was like, what's happening? What is happening?
It was, I don't know if this is a positive or negative for me, but it did move so quickly like, one thing to the next. Like, the trial was, like, boom, boom, boom. And, like, you know, and then they go on the journey or quest or whatever. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. And then it's like, next place. And then, and that's so, I feel like I get it because it's YA and, you know, you're kind of just telling a story. It's not, maybe not going to be as deep as some like more adult fiction.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I like this? Do I not like it? Like, I don't know.
I noticed the same thing about the pace, but I actually liked it because I feel like a lot of times books like The Hunger Games, for example, or like in a lot of times when books are made into series, it feels gratuitous. Like you didn't need to split the story up. It could have been told in one book. This was almost like the opposite where I agree at the end of the story, I was kind of flipping through the book and I was like, dang, like the trials could have been their own story.
Yeah.
And then the journey to like make the dresses felt like a completely different story.
Yeah.
But I appreciated that she didn't waste our time in that. Like she didn't make us wait a year to find out, you know,
about the quest. And it kind of is just, it's nice to know. I mean, obviously, you know, that like they're gonna get through this and this is like their journey and stuff. And yeah. she didn't, a lot of times, like you said, authors will kind of lengthen that out or stretch yeah, that out for a mm-hmm. lot, but you kind of already know like this is where they're going and it's probably yeah. gonna culminate in some like end thing.
Yeah.
But when I was reading it, I was like, oh, they got that thing. That was convenient. Like yeah. next.
Yeah.
It yeah. felt a little convenient at times is
yes.
like what I'm saying. But I get that it's still, you still got the same end result.
You did. And I will say that I liked the book, but, and I think Elizabeth Lim is a fantastic author, but yeah. she's no Sarah J. Moss.
Like, oh yes. Yeah.
That's all I can think
of. When you compare, it just can't.
No, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the trials for, in this book did kind of remind me of the, is it Throne of Glass? Or whichever book.
Oh, in the beginning.
Yeah, where she's like, yeah. where she's fighting to be the king's champion or whatever it's called. It reminded me a little bit of that. But obviously, like, it reminded me of it, but didn't hold a candle to it either.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so much. Sarah J. Moss's book was way more epic of a tale.
Oh, you know. Yeah, for sure.
Not to compare, sure. but, you know.
For sure.
It did Agreed. Remind me of it a little bit. Also,
there were just more elements involved, too. But, yeah.
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 Okay, so in the book, this book, Spin the Dawn, the kind of like folk tale that Maya is going off of to make the dresses where the stars are Amara? Like
Amana's dresses.
Well, I don't know if Amana's dresses, but I don't know if it's Amana herself, but is it like one of the god, like the sun goddess and then the, or like the sun and the moon, like love each other.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they're separated. And so they can yeah. only join like once.
On the one day. Yeah.
One day, whatever. That yeah. Sounds very, it's, I think that that is a Korean folk oh. tale too. I'm not saying it like originated in Korea. Like there yeah. very possibly is like a Chinese it. Version of it too.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But that sounds vaguely familiar in some aspect. It might not have been a lover. It could have been like a brother and sister who were separated uh-huh. and then they can only join like to reunite once. Something like that. I'm going to have to Google it.
I didn't know that.
But
yeah, that's cool.
It did sound a little bit familiar. Oh, I should have done it before we recorded, but I forgot.
Maybe we can post it. Moment. Post about it later.
Yeah, I can post about it. But yeah, I thought that was cool because if it's true, then I like that she weaved in like cultural aspects. Obviously, yeah. the main character is Asian, and yeah. there's like a lot of references to Asian food, and
yeah,
I liked that. But I just, if she also weaved in this like Asian folk tale, then that just makes it even cooler to me.
That is pretty cool. She actually has another series, I think, that came out more recently. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It's a retelling of Crimson. Yeah, it's a retelling of the Brothers Grimm. Oh, you have it. Yeah.
This, I didn't buy it. It came in my Fairy Loot box. So Ooh. For listeners, you'll see it on Instagram because I'm going to be posting a reel unboxing
yeah. that thing.
But like, ooh, imagine so how it's so pretty, and imagine how surprised I was when I opened the box because they don't tell you in Fairy Loot what book it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, Elizabeth Lam!
So pretty.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a retelling of Brothers Grimm. I had no idea. I have no idea yeah. what this book is about. I was just like, okay, this is nice.
But it got really good reviews.
Well, I'm looking at the what do you call this, like the little blurb or whatever.
Oh, uh-huh.
The people who write the little like, oh, yeah, magnificent, yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And one of the people who reviewed it is the author of the Caravelle series, which we haven't yes. read, but I've heard mm-hmm. is really, really good. And then Graceling, we read that, didn't
oh,
we?
Yeah, I love yeah. Graceling.
Yeah, so she Kristen also Christore, said that.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
She's so like she also, OG YA.
I know, that's like I know.
OG.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And this is signed by Elizabeth Lim.
Oh, fancy that. Maybe we'll have to pick that up for another month.
Yeah.
If you don't read it first.
Well, no, because if it's a series, I'm going to wait. But
oh, that's true. I don't know if it's a series or not.
I hope not, because it's a very beautiful book. Like, I just want to read really it. Just,
those
just
colors so I can hold it. Are very I know, you, too. Like, I could imagine you with, like, pink and lavender nails with, like, pretty decals on them.
Girl!
Should you get those next time we go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Love that. Okay.
So, I feel like the book kind of had, it was obviously different parts. And so, it felt like in the beginning, the kind of bad guys were the people.
The Shansen.
Yeah, or the people she was up against in the trial, like the other competitors. Oh,
the other tailors, uh-huh.
Yeah, and then, you know, some were trying to sabotage her or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it kind of morphed into, like, is the emperor, like, a bad guy?
Right.
And then obviously at the end, it's, like, the demon that she's going to have to fight.
Yeah.
So I'm like, who is the ultimate bad guy? Who's going to be the ultimate bad guy in the second
book? Yeah. And I also feel like there's I could be reaching here, but I feel like there's more that's going to be revealed in the next book about the Shansen or whatever. The father of the
lady
the emperor is supposed to.
Yeah.
Because there was like a brief part in the book where they talked about who that Shansen king is and how he was originally one of the emperor or like the current emperor's father. When the father was in reign, he was the military generals or something.
He
like for some reason defected and like started a war against the kingdom. And I was just like, for some reason, really? Like, and you're not going to divulge any more than that? Like, I feel like we're going to learn more about that and that has like a bigger part than what she's letting on.
I had totally forgotten about that detail.
Yeah, because also like the whole thing with the lady, what's her name again? I can't remember.
Lady Sarnai.
I know it was like an S.
S-A-R-N-A-I?
Oh, was it an S? Oh, yeah. So her thing is like, is she in love with Lord Xena or whatever that lord accompanied her?
Follows her around, yeah.
Feel like she is.
Yes.
But then does she not want to, like, what's her deal? Like,
it sounded like when she found out that Maya was a girl, or it just seemed like they were kind of in the same shoes, and that they were kind of like trapped because they were girls, you know?
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, her father married her off to bring about peace and stuff, and she can't decide like who she marries.
So
she wants to be Lord Xena or whatever.
Yeah. So now at the end of the book, it was revealed that Maya is actually a girl and not her brother. I wonder also if in the next book we'll maybe see like more of a friendship growing
I between could see the that two.
Because like that I feel like cool. There was like the setup for them to be like on the allies basically, but it never really happened, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a little bit unsatisfactory for me.
Yeah.
But it was still a really good book. I didn't start reading it till Monday, I want to say. Uh-huh. And it's Thursday today. So I like flew through it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't hard. Like I was like, this is really good. Yeah. It was short. It moved really fast. And when I finished, I definitely felt like, okay, well, now I have to read the next book and see how
just to know what happens.
Just to see how it ends.
Just to see.
Just to see. And so on that end, I would like to formally announce that for the month of September, our book club pick will be Unravel the Dusk, the sequel to Spin the Dawn. Surprise, if you couldn't already guess. Yeah. So
let's read it together. Find out what happens.
I'm glad it's a duology and not a trilogy.
Yeah, easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Like, Elizabeth Lim is a girl after my own heart. Yeah, get it done. Get it done. So,
yeah. I'm glad we're reading kind of these, like, short, easy, fun reads, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we did a lot of heavy lifting earlier in the year.
And last year, like, we read through the entire Throne of Glass series.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah, that's,
I'm
like,
still scarred by A Court of Silver Flames. Like, Sarah J. Maas, why did you do that to us? Like, I don't know, but, you know. Yeah, and then all this, the Shadow and Bone stuff. Like,
yeah.
There was good reading.
We did a lot.
A lot, yeah. A lot. So,
have you read anything else funsies lately?
Yeah. Well, so if you guys don't know, we do have a blog. And I blogged recently about books that I read when I was in Hawaii. Yeah. And after those books, I didn't read until... the book club book. I was vacay. Just like, I need a break. Yeah. Speaking of which, how was your vacay? Because the last time we talked on this podcast, we were both leaving for vacation.
Yeah.
You went to Mexico.
It was nice. I love Mexico. It's always really nice.
Yeah.
I think I'm too. The type of person where, like, I don't really... I'm not 100% relaxed until the vacation is over because I just want everything to go so well. I'm relaxed enough to enjoy the vacation, but I'm always like reserving like 5% for the
what if.
I really hope something doesn't go wrong, you know, or to ruin the vacation.
Is there like a specific thing that you think of when you're on vacation? So, for example, when you were in Mexico this most recent time, was there like a specific thing you were thinking of?
Well, I think when we're like traveling there, right? I'm like, I hope, you know, just travel is easy. Like, our flights don't get delayed, whatever. And I hope, like, then we get to the hotel and I'm like, I hope everything is, our room is fine at the hotel. Like, everything works. There's no issue, whatever. And then until we leave, I'm like, and now there's so many things you have to do to get back in the country. Or not so many things, but, like, you have to get tested and make sure that's uploaded for your flight and stuff. So I was like, oh, like, we have to do that. So it just felt like there were little milestones that I had to hit and
that's
check marks.
Understandable,
and I
kind
of relaxed a little bit, like, once all of those
No, that's totally understandable because, it's like COVID times.
I know.
Were you like that pre-COVID though? Like, I know you would do big international trips.
To some extent, yeah. Especially trips where – I think it's easier at trips where you're just at a resort and you're just lounging and hanging out and not really going anywhere. But trips where you have, you know, very full itineraries and you're doing lots of touristy things or going around to a lot of places – those trips are obviously less relaxing, but I'm like, oh shoot, need to stay on top of everything. Like, they're still fun, but not necessarily as relaxing.
Tell the story, Jensine, of when you were in Asia. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
When you were in Japan in 2019.
Yeah.
And I don't know the exact details, so you're going to have to fill us listeners and me, because I don't remember. In
Japan was
I got a frantic text or a DM because you were overseas. It wasn't a text. It was a DM from you being like,
oh my goodness, I totally forgot about this. Yeah. Wait, what did I ask you to do?
So it was something with like the flight. Like, you had booked your flight through AAA, does that sound right? You had booked through something and like you needed the confirmation number in order to check in for your flight, but then it was one of those weird things where like
you had to like call in for me or something.
Yeah, I had to. I was Jensine Lee for 10 minutes.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about this.
Jensine straight up sent me like she was like, this is my address, this is my social security number, like, whatever. Whatever they need, I will give it to you.
And oh, my gosh. I just
called. Yeah.
You know, I think it was, like, really early in the morning, like, U.S. time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like,
no,
Sophia is awake.
It wasn't early in the morning. It was – you know why I remember this? It was in the middle of my oldest daughter's 8th birthday party. But I am always on the phone. And so I wasn't doing anything. It was like a painting party. So they were like painting and they had the teacher with them. And I was just like there.
Oh, it's coming back to me now.
Yeah. It was like afternoon, like maybe noon American time.
Yeah.
Or like US time, 1 p.m., something like that. Or maybe like 3 p.m. It was like daytime. Yeah. It wasn't early in the morning. But I remember you were like, are you busy? And I was like, no, like, are you okay?
I did. Oh, that's right. It's because, yeah, I knew you would respond.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm always on my phone. Yeah.
But I do remember what happened now. It's like when you book a flight with certain airlines, like they're all connected. They're all in different alliances and partnerships. So, for example, like American Airlines is a partner of Japan Airlines. Like they're in the same alliance. Uh-huh. And so like when you book trips with miles, like points or miles, sometimes you book like let's say you have American Airlines miles, but you want to book a Japan Airlines flight.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
So you book it with American Airlines, but it's a Japan Airlines flight. So like you might get an American Airlines confirmation, but you need your, you know, Japan Airlines number get on the flight.
Yeah. So that's what it was. It was like some weird like loophole where you needed like a confirmation number.
I totally forgot about that. I love that you remember that. That's so
funny. I was just like, hi, my name's Jensen Lee and I'm like scheduled on a flight today out of, you know, Nagasaki or wherever you were. I don't know where you were, Tokyo. And I see the confirmation number, and they gave like no issues.
Yeah,
they didn't even ask me for my like information. I was like, oh, this is like a little too easy, but
I know sometimes, you know, sometimes they ask you like too many questions. I'm second guessing myself. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I probably sound like I'm faking it, but I really don't know. And then sometimes it's like too easy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Anyways.
I forget why we were talking about that, like why that
we're talking about trips, but okay, what's the best book you read in Hawaii or your favorite? Gosh.
So I'm ready to talk about this. Okay, so if you want to read a thriller, you need to read The Night Swim. I'm pretty sure the author is Megan Golden. It's up on our blog penandpagegirls.com, but The Night Swim, and it's so good because it's a thriller, like a cold case murder, like being solved, but it's told from the perspective. So, you know, the podcast Serial, and it like goes over like crimes and stuff like that. And like crime podcasts now are super popular.
Yeah.
But basically it's kind of like loosely based on that. Like this character is the host of this super like viral, super popular like crime podcast, and every season she covers a different case or whatever, and it's, you know, the book opens and she's like coming up on her third season and she feels a lot of pressure for it because the first two were really successful, and she, you know, she just wants to like make sure that she delivers, and she decides instead of covering a cold case or like an unsolved case, she's gonna cover a live trial, and it's like a super controversial trial. Ooh, so she goes to this small town where the it's like a date rape. The crime is loosely based on the, remember the Stanford swimmer, the collegiate swimmer raped or digitally penetrated unconscious girl. So it's kind of based on that. So like there's this trial and it's like this small town golden boy, and like he could do no wrong. He's being accused of rape and everyone's like, he didn't do it. And that girl's a slut or whatever. And so it's like divided the country, divided the town. So she's going to go and cover this live trial. But while she's there, she uncovers like this other like almost forgotten, but not forgotten because it's just like was buried. Like nobody talked about it, but it was like another death that had happened like 20 years prior. And it was kind of mysterious, but like no one like investigated it, like, you know, and she kind of stumbles across it. So it's like every episode of the podcast is a chapter, and she's talking this trial that's happening, but then you also get like what's happening at like in her actual life, like as she's like discovering like this thing that happened. It's really good, but that's like definitely more thriller, and it's called The Night Swim. And then the other book, if that's not your style, that is like so fun, but I don't know if you're gonna like it because it reminded me of Finley Donovan is killing it. But it's called Eliza Starts a Rumor. I forget the author's name, but again, it's up on our blog. But Eliza Starts a Rumor, and that one is really fun because it's basically about this empty nester. She has twins, and they just went off to college, so she's like home alone with her husband, and she's kind of like bored. And she runs like a online bulletin board. It's basically like a Facebook group, but they don't call it that, right? She runs this online bulletin board for the community that she lives in. It's like the Hudson Valley Ladies Bulletin Board or whatever. And that's like, you know, now that she's an empty nester, like that's like her life's purpose, right? Like this is her baby, her passion project. And she's in the grocery store and she sees these two young moms that are like dressed in their Lululemon and like super skinny and fit. And she overhears them saying, oh yeah, that Hudson Valley like ladies bulletin board is like just for like, you know, like the old menopausal ladies, like it's not trendy. Like this other one is way cooler. And so she hears that and she's like, so like, how dare they? Like, this is no, like I refuse to be like seen as archaic. So she makes up a rumor. She creates a fake post like under anonymous and like makes up this rumor of like, oh, like it's, she says like the man that I had an affair with, I recently moved here and the man that I had an affair with in the city followed me here and moved here with his wife who doesn't know that we had an affair. And I don't know what to do because he won't leave me alone. And I've told him that I want to end it. Like any advice? Oh, thanks, anonymous. So it's just like this really salacious rumor, right? But basically what ends up happening is like all the wives in the – it's like a small town. So all the wives are like –
oh, they're like, who is it?
Yeah. Like, is this your husband? Like, and it's just like comedy of errors and –
oh my god,
it's really cute. I really, really liked that one. I'd say that those two were my favorite books that I read in Hawaii. I was really sad because I had Malibu Rising from the library like on my Kindle, but it like I like waited too long because I wanted to read it in Hawaii. But by the time I got there, it was like I only had like one day left, and I wasn't reading the whole day. I was like playing with my kids and stuff, and I didn't have a chance to like get to it before it just disappeared from my Kindle.
I know.
So I can't wait to read that though, because I've heard really good things about Malibu Rising.
I'm still on hold for that also.
Yeah. What about you? Have you read anything recently?
Yeah, I read. Have you heard of the Paris Library?
No. That sounds so cute. The Paris Library. Oh no! Is it a series?
Really... No, it's not a series. It's, okay, I'm gonna write it down. You'll really like it because it's like straight up Kristen Hannah vibes. It's not YA. It's fiction.
Why is this so unlike you?
I know, but it was, you know, I was kind of looking for something more mature.
Mature, yes.
More mature. And I kind of was curious to see, like, what are people reading? Like, what are, you know, the most popular books right now? And I had seen it on a couple of lists. And the premise is it's actually based on kind of true story or true characters. Like the characters I'm based on actual people that lived during World War II. And we love a World War II story.
We do love a historical fiction story. Yes.
And okay, it's set in the actual, there's an actual like American Library of Paris in Paris. And you know, during the war, like Germany invades and like takes over, and they destroy a lot of books at different libraries and stuff. And so it's centered around like the characters that work at the library and also like the patrons of the library. It's just, it was so cute. Like you grow to love the characters and like what they do. They send books to soldiers, and they also, you know, they had like Jewish patrons and stuff, and like finding out like they were taken. It's just, it was a really really good, good book. Okay, so it's like set in that time, but then also it kind of goes back and forth with not present day. I want to say maybe like 80s. No, that's too late. World War II happened in what, like?
The 40s.
The 40s. So maybe like in the 80s, set in like rural America. Uh-huh. In this town that kind of has a connection to someone at the Paris Library. So it goes back and forth like that. You would really like it. It was really good.
That is giving me Kristen Hannah vibes right there. Just your description of it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to add it to my list.
Just the library descriptions are for any fan of books.
Yeah. Any bibliophile, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, check that one out. Any other books that you read that you want to share before I close out this episode?
Nothing of note. We'll end on a good one.
We'll end on a good one. All right. Well, this was lots of fun. If you guys read along with this month's book club pick, then be sure to drop a comment either on our blog at penandpagegals.com or on our Instagram at penandpagegals. Don't forget that we'll be reading Unravel the Dusk, the sequel to Spin the Dawn, for our next month's book club. And you can follow us on our individual Instagrams if you miss us. In the meantime, Jensine is at Jensane and I'm at Sophia Cases. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.